So this is some quotations from Japa Meditations by Srila Dhanadhar Swami. First, he explains about, he asks a question, what is Japa Realization? This is from his diary, because the book is called Japa Meditations. Japa Realization is the recognition of the obstacles that block us from attaining our next level of meditation, and the form of mercy necessary to help us reach beyond those barriers. So this is a like someone says, oh, I was chanting japa, and I had a realization while I was chanting japa. I realized recognition of the obstacles that block us from attaining our next level of meditation, and the form of mercy necessary to help us reach beyond those barriers. So it's obstacles and mercy. Japa realization means obstacles and mercy. Recognize the obstacles. The obstacles, so what are some obstacles? Let's get some interaction here. Huh? One obstacle is called laya. Laya means a tendency to sleep, like pralaya. Means destruction. So laya, this is described Madhurya Kandambini. Madhurya Kandambini explains about laya. Laya is a tendency to sleep when chanting, when reading, and when doing smarana. And the tendency increases as we go closer to Krishna. We try to do smarana, then the tendency is more to sleep. So laya is one obstacle when we're chanting japa. We're discussing japa realization means to realize the obstacles and to attain the form of mercy. So one obstacle is sleeping, laya, a tendency to sleep when chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So we recognize this as an obstacle, and then we think, oh, how can I... Of course, we analyze the obstacle. What is the cause of the obstacle? Well, I didn't sleep enough. That's one thing. So this is a very practical and simplistic one. Sleeping. Well, do I have sufficient sleep? Did I eat too much late at night? I ate heavy foods late at night, so although I had enough sleep, but I feel groggy. Or should I walk? Of course, we should sit down and chant next to Tulsi. That's the best. But if we see even we have enough sleep, and even we have sufficient sleep, we eat very lightly the night before, and all these things are nicely adjusted in very sattvic food, and still we have the tendency to sleep, then that's some tamasic swabhav, the ignorant nature of our prakruti. Our particular body structure is such that our mind, no matter, even we have 10 hours of sleep and don't eat anything or eat fruits or whatever, still we have tendency to sleep. This is a psychic tendency due to the prakruti or the material construction of the body, tendency to sleep. So then, praying for the form of mercy. So we pray to Gudakesh. Gudakesh, who is Gudakesh? Arjun, it's the name for Arjun. So Gudakesh means one who has conquered sleep. So he's conquered sleep by the mercy of Krishna. So we pray to Arjun and we pray to Krishna. Arjun, Krishna, please help me conquer sleep. There's this tamaguna is inside of me. I had sufficient rest, I didn't eat, but I said, adjust my nature. So this is the form of mercy, means we pray, and then we realize that we keep sleeping, we're praying, all of a sudden, oh, it's working. I'm not sleeping. So this is one point. So he's just explaining that, and then the book is going to develop this theme. Now someone is saying, the instructions of Prabhupada are the basis of entering the holy name and can inspire one to go deeper. So Dhruva Maharaj Das, our godbrother, he suggests a lifetime plan to gradually increase one's dedication to the holy name. So he's telling two things here. The instructions of Srila Prabhupada. I don't know if it's still in print, but it used to be. Maybe it's still in print. It's called Srinam Amrita. It's a large paperback book published by BBT, 650 pages. All quotations from Srila Prabhupada's lectures about the holy name. So we read these instructions, and try to incorporate those instructions into our chanting. And that will help. And the other point he makes is to make a lifelong plan. Lifelong plan means, what does that mean? It means that these are summaries, get into it. Well, these are actually, so his lifelong plan, and we'll hear about this, this is the introduction. And then Indra Das talks about the spontaneous nature of the holy name. Manadi Swami talks about chanting in the mood of giving pleasure to Radha and Krishna. Burijan Das, he talks about chanting in the mood of helplessness and lamentation as the key to improving japa. Niranjan Swami talks extensively how the cultivation of humility and gratitude increases our attentiveness in chanting by making japa more relevant to one's life. These are summaries which we'll discuss. Vaisheshika Das, he reminds us how important it is, service to the mission of Lord Chaitanya is to the cultivation of japa meditation. And we'll find out more about that. Srimati Dasi, she explains that to overcome lifeless chanting, that's interesting, lifeless chanting. My chanting is dead. I'm chanting like a dead man. Lifeless. To overcome lifeless chanting, it's most important to do Nam Kirtan in the association of advanced devotees. She also stresses the inspiration one gains in japa by seeing Nam as a person with deep emotions. Keshava Bharati describes chanting in an intimate mood, focusing on vibrating the holy name from the heart region. And Radhavallabha Das, he explains the science of changing habits as applied to japa. He reserves one day a week exclusively for Nam Bhajan. Radna Swami, he discusses how one's sincere desire to purify oneself and serve humbly is not only the difference between hollow ritual and genuine devotion, but the key to pure chanting itself. Dhanadhar Swami says that, in conclusion, we can see that many of the devotees express the need for gratitude. That when they're chanting the holy name, this feeling or mood of gratitude comes up. They feel grateful to have received this holy name. They feel grateful for having the opportunity to chant the holy name. They feel grateful for the realizations and the purity that the holy name is bringing them. And they feel grateful for the opportunity to serve the holy name and distribute the holy name to others. Because we see, practically ourselves individually, and also by our preaching, that what were we before the holy name came into our lives? And what were we? What are we now? So then, obviously, gratitude. For example, if someone was a poor person in the street, and then some rich person came along and said, why you be a poor person in the street? You don't have proper clothing or proper facility to live. You can come and live in my house. I have an extra room. So now he's living on the street, sleeping in his auto rickshaw, eating in the biscuits and coffee. Now he's living in the millionaire's house with a private room, attached bath. So many of these points I'm seeing are mentioned in our book, Art of Chanting Hare Krishna. But I see that, they're also here, and many other ones also. So it's a very valuable book, this book, Japa Meditations. So this is Sama Priya Devi Dasi, Dhruva Maharaj's wife, and my god sister. After 35 years of chanting Hare Krishna, I have attained some deep realizations which I want to share with you. When I chant the holy name, I meditate that while I'm chanting, this time that I'm spending chanting the holy name is an opportunity for me to associate with Krishna very intimately. This, of course, is described in my book also. We should feel the presence of the Lord, and I'm But this is, I say in my book, we should set aside some time to be alone with the Lord and remove all distractions, turn off the cell phones, turn off the TV, radio, this, that, the other thing. So this is an opportunity to associate with Krishna very intimately. What does chanting mean? Chanting means to give one's time and one's breath to Krishna. So what did I say?
Give your time and breath to Krishna.
Yeah, chanting means giving one's time and one's life breath to Krishna. Hare Krishna. What all we are is breath, and breath is time, and time is our life. So many breaths. Chanting is a devotee's intimate time with Krishna. It's a very nice concept. Intimate time. Everyone can be intimate with Krishna. Individual, confidential, intimate. No one else. It's not. It's my Krishna. It's my holy name. My Sri Nam Prabhu. My Krishna. And I'm chanting my japa. When we say to someone, we don't say, "Did you do my japa?" We say, "Did you do?" Yes, I did my japa. Right? My japa. It's possessive. It's mamta. If one chants 16 rounds, he goes somewhat deep into his relationship. Like if you're spending some time with someone, if you spend a half hour with someone, you can't go too deep into the relationship. Right? It's a practical consideration. Now if you spend 10 days with someone, 24 hours a day, then either you sleep all day or you develop some type of relationship. Love-hate or hate-hate or love-love or... some type of relationship will develop. In other words, the equation is like this. The more time we spend with someone, the more relationship will develop. That's common sense. So applying that common sense principle to the holy name, the more time we spend with Krishna, which means, Krishna means the person, and he's personally available in his holy name. So the more time we spend with the holy name, which means spending time with the holy name means passing rounds, then the more we develop our relationship. It's a simple logical conclusion. If I spend a half hour with you, I have a limited relationship. If I spend my whole life with you, then we have a very deep and extensive relationship. So she's saying that if we increase to 32 rounds a day, or 48, or even 64, because by the way, this devotee, Samapriya, she chants 64 rounds a day. If one increases the number of rounds, then automatically he will get more realizations about his relationship with Krishna. Why? The simple point is, he's spending more time with Krishna, who is non-different from his holy name. This is a very internal thing, but it is simple. So, Hare Krishna, oh Krishna, I'm with you. Oh, just like if you are embracing someone, oh, I'm with you, and you tell jokes, and you say funny things, and they say funny things, and they pinch your nose, and you pinch their nose, and I don't know, whatever people do, the intimate exchanges. So, that's what she's saying, it's a very internal. Internal means this is a heart region consideration. That one realizes that Krishna, that I'm with Krishna. I'm actually with Krishna. There's nobody here. Like sometimes you go for darshan of some deity and you're the only one there. I can remember oftentimes the Radha-damodar, the Pajari would be there, but he was standing on the side, you couldn't see him. And I would be the only one among Mangalarti, this big old temple in the winter time, January, freezing cold. I would just be, felt so wonderful. Felt so special. And in the morning, Mangal Arati, it's really a treat. You should try to see it if you go in the winter sometime. Make it a point to go downtown. You can drive, if you have a car, take your driver with you. Drive your car to the back side, Yamuna side. And you just walk through there. You can drive all the way to the temple practically, Shrinkarbat. Park your car and go with your driver as a bodyguard. There's just a bunch of rickshawwalas sleeping in there. You go through the back way and then you can about turn right and go up and go to the temple. It's about a 5-minute walk from the Parikramar. And you'll see the Damodar is wearing a topi. And he also has he has mittens on his hands. You know mittens? They look like this. So I asked the head Bajari one time, I said, "How does Damodar play flute with mittens?" You know, play flute, you have to hold down the hold, put your fingers on the hold. You know? So mittens looks like this. There's one big piece over these four fingers. And he says, oh, he's God. He can do anything. So he looks very cute. And a cheddar wrapped all around him. So this is a very intimate darshan. Sakshat darshan of Damodarji. And Seva Kunj, Mangal Artik in the winter time. So we're having that Sakshat darshan with Krishna every time we pick up our beads and start chanting Hare Krishna. Oh, my friend. Oh, Krishna. You're sleeping in my bead bag. Come on, wake up. It's like the man and the Parikrama Marg. He has a cobra inside a basket. You've seen the boys?
Yes.
Shiv Bhaktas, they have a cobra. And they have a basket with a little lid on it. Then he opens the lid and he goes... He hits the cobra in the head. And he comes up with his fan out. And then sometimes they play music. And they go... Like this. So... I think sometimes like that, that my bead bag is Krishna sleeping inside. And then my bead bag is lying there. I go, oh, come on. And then I picked up the beads. You know, you put your fingers on the beads, pick them up. Oh, Krishna. Radha and Krishna. You touch your head to their lotus feet, because the head bead is Radha and Krishna. Then you begin. So this is a very nice thing. That the more time put into a relationship, the more that relationship develops. That relationship is the essence of a devotee's being. It was very existence. So our very existence is based on a relationship with the holy name. Our existence means our spiritual existence is based on the holy name. As one gives more and more of his life's breath to Krishna, the more real the relationship with Krishna will become. It is hard to remain superficial when spending 10 hours a day with someone. She's using very practical psychology, human psychology and social intercourse. Everyone heard the point?
Yes.
It's very hard to be superficial with someone you spend 10 hours a day with. Unless they're working for you, right?
Yes.
If they're working for you and they're your employee, and they clean your pots and pans, they live in your house for 24 hours a day. But your relationship is superficial, right? Because you don't care. You pay them and they do their work. They don't pay them, you kick them out. But Krishna is not a hired servant. Krishna is not our pot washer. So this is a nice point. It's hard to be superficial when you spend 10 hours a day with Krishna. When one is seriously chanting, he is able to speak concisely with more realization, and people will appreciate that. So that now she's taking a different course. New tact. Starboard, gone to the leeward side of things. The boat is going to the leeward side. Or those sailors in the audience. So there's a new tact. She's been talking about an internal realization, developing a personal relationship with the holy name, spending more time with the holy name, and becoming deep and crossing over the superficiality as you chant hour after hour after hour. Because she's chanting 10 hours a day herself, 64 rounds a day, 8-10 hours a day. So she's speaking, these are 35 years worth of realizations. So now she's taking, so this is bhajan, now there's prachar. A devotee's life has two aspects, bhajan and prachar. Bhajan is our personal development and cultivation of bhakti, devotion, love and affection for Krishna. And prachar is our distribution of that collection. We collect and we distribute. We collect mercy from above. We internalize the mercy. We realize the mercy. We relish the mercy. And then we distribute that to others. So this is prachar. Achar and prachar, bhajan achar, and then prachar. So now she's saying that if one is seriously developing his relationship with Krishna, and chanting 5 hours, 5-6 hours, so many hours a day, then when they speak Hare Gita, then they'll speak concisely with more realization. Purity is the force. Have we heard this expression?
Yes. Yes.
Purity is the force. So the purity of consciousness, the purity of bhajan, the purity of our mind and heart is the force behind the prachar, prachar shakti. We're following the four regulative principles. We're seriously chanting. We're seriously studying. We're trying to always hear Shabda Brahman, Hari Gita, sleeping, waking, moving. At every moment, we're absorbed in Krishna. Krishna's Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Moment to moment, hour to hour, sleeping, waking. So then when we speak, it has some power, has some potency. Purity is a force. As she's saying that, then people appreciate that type of empowered speaking. Shaktivesh. Power is entered into him. Shakti is entered into him. Now this is another realization that in order how to become absorbed in chanting. One, by chanting along with Srila Prabhupada. Everyone's heard of Srila Prabhupada's japa tape?
Yes, yes, ma'am.
I think there's two versions. There's a slow version and a fast version. There's one, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And there's another one, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. You heard? There's two.
Yes, ma'am.
So I guess you can play the speed that matches your attention or need. So this is a very I spent many years chatting with Srila Prabhupada, and even now sometimes I listen to Srila Prabhupada's chanting. I have on my iPod. When one hears a pure devotee chant Hare Krishna, it allows one to enter into the space of his chanting. And then one can just ride on it. So this is a kind of a lot of American colloquial expressions here that I will unravel for the general audience. Riding on it. Enter into the space of his chanting. So Prabhupada's chanting is Shudanam. It is from outer space. Jiva Maharaj Das is saying that if we listen to Prabhupada chanting the japa tape, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So when we listen to Srila Prabhupada chanting japa, then by listening to this tape we can become absorbed in our own chanting, and we can enter into the space of his chanting. So in other words, he's saying, it's almost like, imagine, you know what a vacuum cleaner is? There's a machine that has some motor and has a hose on it, and it creates some suction. And you put it along the carpet and it takes all the dirt out. So we can imagine that Prabhupada's name, this chanting, is like a vacuum cleaner. In other words, enter into the space. Get sucked into Prabhupada's chanting. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So you actually, it's almost like you see sometimes when there's a big truck going down the highway. A big truck is going down the highway. If you know anything about driving, if you slip in behind that truck with your car, it creates what's called an airstream. Airstream, because the truck is pushing a lot of air, a volume of air in front of it. And the air is going to the side of the truck and going to the side and back. And that creates what's called an airstream. Jets also have a jet. It's called jet stream or airstream. And when you get in behind that truck, then that airstream is going around your car, and you can go this fast. You can go 80 kilometers like the truck and save all kinds of gas, because you're practically you can put it in neutral. Practically put your car in neutral, and it just goes along. So as it becomes very easy when you get behind the airstream, it becomes very easy to go forward. And just glide along without any much effort on your own. So when you chant with the pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, and you enter into his chanting, it's like getting behind a big truck on the freeway. And you got Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Okay, oh, Prabhupada, okay, I'm getting enthusiasm. That vibration is going in my ears, inspiring my mind. It's inspiring my heart. I don't feel sleepy. I feel Hare Krishna. And you turn it loud. You can turn it loud on your tape recorder, stereo set. Hare Krishna. So that loud vibration of the pure devotee drives out all the lethargy and ignorance and tamagun from the room and all the other negative sleeping influences. And then you enter into the space, which means that you enter behind the big truck, and then you can go Hare Krishna, glide very nicely. It's a very nice analogy. And you can ride on it. You can ride on this chanting, just like you ride on the airstream behind a truck. You can ride and easily cover the distance. This is a quotation from Prema Vaivarta. Lord Krishna spoke to Arjuna. O Arjuna, tat shrinu, please listen attentively. When a living entity chants my holy name, whether he chants it out of indifference or devotion, I will never forget this chanting that he has performed. This chanting will always remains close to my heart. There is no brat or no vow like chanting my holy name. There is no knowledge superior to the chanting of my holy name. And there is no meditation which comes anywhere near the chanting of my holy name. And chanting my holy name will give one the highest possible result. There is no austerity equal to it, and there is nothing as potent or powerful as the holy name. Chanting the holy name of Krishna is the greatest act of piety and the supreme shelter for every living entity. Even the words of the Vedas do not possess sufficient power to describe the magnitude. Chanting Krishna's name, or chanting my name, is the highest path to liberation, peace, and eternal life. It is the topmost pinnacle of devotion. The joyous inclinations of the heart and the attraction of the heart, and it's the best form of remembrance of the Supreme Lord. The holy name has appeared for one purpose, to benefit the living entities. And by chanting this holy name, one will understand that Krishna is my Lord and Master. He is my supreme worshipable object, and he is my spiritual guide and teacher. Krishna himself glorifying his own holy name in a book by Jagannanda Pandit. Jagannanda Pandit is a Gaur Leela appearance, or Gaur Leela form of Satyabhama. Satyabhama is Krishna's queen from Dwarka. Satyabhama Jagannanda Pandit ki. So Jagannanda Pandit, he has compiled this book 500 years ago, which is partially diary. His diary of his experiences and the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here in Jagannath Puri and also in Mayapur, because he was in Mayapur with Lord Chaitanya and also in Puri for his entire stay here. That's a nice book. It's in English also. So in this book he's quoting some scripture where Krishna is glorifying the holy name to Arjuna. So this is another point. When I'm chanting the holy name, I think that I must go very deep into this chanting. I must be very serious about my chanting. I must be very attentive. Because actually, if I want to represent Srila Prabhupada as his disciple and as a devotee of Krishna, then I must become a beacon of light. I know a beacon of light. They have these on the coastal regions like Chennai or Calcutta or Jagannath Puri, and these coastal regions, they have a big tower on the beach. It's called a lighthouse, and it has a big light there, and it's shining in the ocean in the nighttime, and the sailors on their boats, they look for the certain lights and certain distances between certain lights. They indicate the location of a harbor, so that light becomes a beacon. It becomes a guiding light called beacon. So Sri Samapriya Dasi is saying that I feel the responsibility to become a beacon light to be lit up by the potency of the holy name and show others the mercy of Prabhupada. So the beacon light is lit up by the electricity passing through it. And when the electricity passes through the beacon light, then that creates brilliant light which guides the sailors to a safe harbor to land their boat. So she's saying that I want to be a beacon light. And what is the source of my light? The source of my light is Shudanam, the pure chanting of the holy name. That's the electricity. I'm the light bulb and this is electricity. And when I'm lit up, so to speak, when I'm lit up by the holy name, then I can show others the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, because he is a source of the holy name and he is a source of the electricity of the holy name. He is the electrical minister of electricity. The electrical minister. And if he's favorable to me, then he'll give me a good electrical connection. And I'll get 24 hours, three-phase electricity. That was a very nice realization. This is from Sachinandan Swami, who has written a couple books about the holy name. The first practice means that when we're chanting the holy name and our minds run away from the divine holy name, our minds run away from the divine holy name. Run away means distraction. They go to some other idea. Well, what about my children? What about my family? This, that. When the mind runs away from the divine holy name, one should be honest and humble enough to bring it back by saying, by commanding the mind, "Dear mind, sir, come back. Come back. Where are you going?" So he's saying that this type of response to distraction, or this type of response or commanding response to the wayward mind, indicates a level of honesty and humility in the sadhaka. Because if he's not honest and humble, then he will think, because honesty means no cheating. No cheating. So if one is chanting the holy name and trying to associate and serve the holy name with attention, the divine holy name, and he sees that he's becoming inattentive and his mind is running away, if he's a cheater, then he'll run with the mind. The mind is saying, "Come on, let's go. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, Madhavi, Madhavi, come, come. Let's run up the beach. Let's run back to the..." And she says, "Okay," and she runs with you, because she's a simple child. So we're like simple children chanting the holy name, and then the mind is saying, "Come, come." And then we're led away from the holy name, easily led away. So this, and if we run with the mind and don't command it to stop or to come back, then that means that we're not honest. It means we're dishonest. It's a type of cheating, a type of kapat nature, deceit or chanting. In our deceit or dishonesty in our chanting, because, okay, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, so what, my mind's running here or there. Actually, these are some nice thoughts. These are some nice ideas I have. Oh, yeah, I can make money like this, I can do like that. Oh, yeah, I'll do like this, that. And so that means a certain dishonesty and not humble. Because if we're humble, then we'll admit that it will... When the mind runs away, we'll say, "Oh Krishna, please help me. I can't control my mind. Oh Manohar. Oh Krishna, you're Manohar. You have all karshati, all attractive power. Please capture my mind. It's running away. Come back. Please help me, Krishna. Krishna, please. I want to hear your holy name. I want to serve you. I don't want to run away from you. I've been running away from you for millions of lifetimes. And millions of hours and millions, thousands and thousands of hours I chant the holy name. And always my mind is running away from you. Not this, Krishna, not this time. No, stop. Hey, Mr. Mind. Hey, sir. Come back. Hey, come back. Krishna." How is one to do this? Do you want to find out the easiest way?
Yes.
Okay. The easiest way to call back the mind is to just look at the syllables of the Maha Mantra while one chants. Does that sound familiar? Where have you seen that?
All of Chandi Hare Krishna.
Yeah. So this is a standard yogic meditation. Sounds familiar. Any rate, that means what this means is that sadhakas, they generally, this is new for English-speaking folks, but the Indians, especially Bengalis, there was one disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He was very famous for his Nam Bhajan. His name was Akinchan Krishnadas Babaji. He was a disciple of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and he took Babaji from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said his only engagement is to travel to our different temples and chant Hare Krishna. Because he had a natural taste for chanting in kirtan, or he chanted bhajans also. I chanted also a few times with him in Imlitala, a few ekadasis. Many Prabhupada disciples in Vrindavan, they've met him. He left around 1980 or so. His samadhi is in Pavan Sarovara at the sitting place in Baitak of Sanatana Goswami's Bhajan Kutir, Pavan Sarovara. On the backside is a black and white, a big black and white frame of him sitting there. It looks like it's a pencil drawing or a photograph. It looks so clear, it looks like he's looking right at you. So he got sometimes donations, and he would go to a marble walla. Very interesting thing to do, actually. And he would have them get a small plaque, maybe 8 inches, 6 inches wide, 6 inches wide, and about 18 inches long. Make many plaques, marble plaques, you know, they're like 1/2 inch or 1 inch thick. And you have them carve into that Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna in Bengali, and then they put some black stuff in there, I don't know, carbon or whatever they put, you know, that when they put names, like make names and name plaques, you've seen, right?
Yes, sir.
So he put the Maha Mantra in that, and then he would give them away to different Babajis or different temples, and then they would chip out the wall, some, you know, some cement from the wall, and they would put that in the wall in front of their kutir. So he gave one to Srila Prabhupada, and that is in the wall of Prabhupada's kutir when he entered Prabhupada's kitchen. It used to be above the kitchen, right in the kutir. It's very nice. It's a piece of marble, and it's just some plaster. Usually the wall is just some plaster, so you chip it out. So he was promoting this practice of looking at the syllables of the holy name. So this practice is very, that all the Babajis and devotees in Gaudiya Sampradaya, this is a very standard practice to look at the holy name. In fact, in Srikanda and in Bardaman, which is a place in West Bengal, the son of Lord Nityananda, in the front of the Art of Chanting book, there's one piece of paper. One side says English, the other side says Hindi. You can photocopy that or even cut it out of the book. In Bardaman, Nityananda's son Birachandra, there's a temple there called Nam Brahma, and he has a shila, one black shila, and it's carved in the shila in Bengali. It's the Maha Mantra is written there, and every day they bathe the shila with Panchamrit. Panchamrit with milk and yogurt and ghee and honey and sugar water. It's like a shalagram, and so they bathe that, and then they drink the charanamrita. So this is a recommended practice to have the mantra, and you sit, it's at eye level, whether you're sitting at your desk, or however, if you sit on the floor or sit at your desk, you put it at eye level so your head doesn't have to go like this or like this. Just can be straight. And you sit perfectly straight, and you position it. You sit straight, and you put it on your wall with blue tack or something. Put the mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And you keep looking there. One thing, your eyes won't be distracted because you're looking. And what the saints say that practice is chanting is that when you're chanting like this, then from the syllables, akshar, it's called akshar brahma. Akshar brahma, transcendental syllables. From the syllables and the actual mantras and syllables of the holy name, the form of Krishna appears. many saints have been looking, they've just been looking at this Maha Mantra written, and then Krishna and Radha come out of the Maha Mantra, Sakshat Darshan. They say like this. So this is a very good practice. After some time of simply chanting and reading the mantra written simultaneously, the mind will become subdued and peaceful. So this is called, say, hypothesis. Do you understand hypothesis? This is called assumption, an assumption hypothesis. So he's, the scientist is saying that if you sit down, your mind is distracted, or your mind is saying, running away while you're chanting. This is the whole subject we're discussing. The wayward mind when one is chanting. So we say, come back, come back. Then he's saying, what is the easiest way to bring back the mind? This is what the discussion is, in case you slept the last few minutes. What is the easiest way to bring back the mind? And the easiest way, according to Sachinandan Swami, from his experience, is to look at the Maha Mantra written in English or Bengali or Hindi. And what will happen, and then, so he's making hypotheses. If you do this, if you sit and chant the holy name, especially at the time when your mind is distracted and running here and there, then what will happen is your mind will become subdued and peaceful. Subdued means it'll stop being distracted, it'll stop jumping like a monkey, and you become peaceful. So this is the hypothesis. Now the next step is experiment for the scientists. So the experiment means you have to make the experiment. You have to get the Maha Mantra, put it on eye level, and sit there and chant when your mind is disturbed, and see. It says you, the way is you chant and read the mantra simultaneously. Well, that's not so difficult. You chat and look. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Oh, yeah. Ah. Just like the baby, the baby's crying, wah, 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 wah. And you try different things to calm him down. You give him a rattle, chit, 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 chit. You give him a din-din drum, ta-ta-ta, ta-ta-ta. You give him some candy. No, I don't want. He hits it. Tong. I don't want. He said, what do you want? He said, I want my beat, Java beats. So then you give the baby the Java beats, and then the baby chants Java and feels nice. So, in this way, this is a very nice reminder. Now, this is a very popular subject matter, especially with the ladies section. Another quality here that's called prajalpa. PPM. I don't mean the Prime Minister. Prajalpa pollutes the mind. PPM. Prajalpa pollutes the mind. So you want to pollute your mind? Then talk about village talk, politics, temples, devotees, this, that, the other thing, everything but Krishna. That's called mental pollution. There's water pollution, there's air pollution, there's food pollution, there's mind pollution. This pollution means contamination, adulteration, dirt, mal, man mal. Man mal means dirt in the mind, dirty mind, filthy mind, dirty mind, bad mind, crazy mind. Because prajapa disturbs the mind. All of all the forms of prajapa, the worst form is criticizing devotees. What is criticizing a devotee? The worst form of prajapa. You got it? The worst form of prajapa. What's the worst form of prajapa? One should learn to be materially silent, but spiritually talkative. Now this is a very, very eloquent sentence by our Guru Bhai, Sachinandan Swami. One should learn. It means we have to, we're not, now we know the art of material talk and spiritual silence. Now we're expert at talking materially and spiritually silent. We're all moan bratis. Can you tell me about Krishna?
Krishna
Krishna's God. Watch out. Anything else? Oh, he's blue. But materially, oh, I can tell you about this car, this computer, you know, has this, that, the other thing. And this car has these features. You can go on for 3 or 4 days glorifying your computer. Because Srila Prabhupada in Bhagavad Gita, he gives this as a definition of moan. Moan is one of the qualities of a yogi. So in Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada defines moan. Although Bhagavad Gita itself is recommending, is mentioning, these are one of the qualities of a saintly person. Maybe chapter 13, I think so. It says mona, that he observes silence. So then Srila Prabhupada only speaking about Krishna. This is true. The true meaning of moan is because the moan, the quality of a saintly person is moan or silence, and it's generally understood. The ordinary general meaning of moan is that one does not speak. He does not speak anything. But yogis or bogies or rogis or whoever they are, if they speak anything, they're only going to speak something about Maya, generally. So it's better that they keep quiet, just meditate, keep quiet. But a devotee wants to glorify Krishna, Uttama Shloka, Krishna. So therefore, it's beneficial. Anyone hears Krishna Mahima or Krishna's Leela, Harikata, then he'll become purified, become benefit, he'll become improved and elevated in life, enhances human life, the hearer and the speaker. So he's defining, if one is always speaking about Krishna, then he's perfect moan brati. So now we're going to discuss a principle called mantra art chintana, mantrartha chintana, which is also in our book. Contemplating the meaning of the mantra while chanting. A devotee cannot simply chant mindlessly because the idle mind will go back to thinking about Maya. One must therefore meditate in a certain mood. So he's giving an idea of a meditation here. Of course, Prabhupada gave the same idea. O Radhe, O Krishna, please engage me in your service. One senior devotee, when he chants the holy name, he meditates like this. When I chant, of course, this is also mentioned in my book also, to do serve the deity or meditate, you're addressing the deity or whatever. When I chant, I decorate the Lord's divine form with flowers. This is the service I like to do during my chanting. The point here is mantra artha chintana means to contemplate the meaning of the mantra while chanting, and my book gives so many different meanings. Another quality in chanting called patience. Don't rush your chanting, because Krishna might run away from your japa practice when he sees that you simply want to, quote, finish it. Oh, I have to finish these rounds. 16 rounds, I have 4 more to go. Oh, I have to finish these rounds. Why do I have to chant this holy name? It's just wasting my time. I have better things to do. I have people to see, places to go, and more important things to do with my time than chant the holy name. I have, because nishchayat utsaha nishchayat Darayat. Darya. Darya means patience. So for example, when we sit down to honor prasadam, do you ever think, oh, I have to finish this prasadam? It's terrible. Why did my wife cook all these nice preparations? Why did my wife make all these nice preparations? I have to finish my prasadam. This is, oh my, I ate 12 preparations. I have 4 more preparations to finish. Oh, I don't know. I think I'll mark my plate. I'll put a marker on my tali, and I'll come back later tonight, and I'll finish these 4 preparations. I had to finish my prasada. We never think like that. We never think have to about prasadam. And if you love something, if you love to do something, if you love someone, there's no question of I have to. Do I have to be with this person? Yes, you have to sit here. Who is this person? It's your wife. Well, it's one thing. Do I have to sit in school? Do I have to sit in these classes with these stupid teachers? Because we don't like them, and we don't like school. So the question of have to only comes in when we're doing something that we don't like to do, or we're with someone that we don't like to be with. Oh, I have to be with this boss in this office because I need money to live. If I had my choice, I would stay home, chant Hare Krishna. But I have to work. What do people say? Do people say, I love to go to work? Because I have to go to work. Maharaj, I have to go to work tomorrow. Right? I have to. So this concept, this phrase, have to, always comes up when we're doing something we don't like to do and we're with someone we don't like. So if this idea comes up when we're chanting japa, I have to finish my rounds, I have 4 rounds I have to finish, that means we're doing something we don't like to do. And we're associating with someone we don't like to associate with. So this is not a very good idea. So I want to chant Krishna's name. I want to chant 16 rounds. I want to chant 16,000 rounds. I love to be with Krishna. I love to chant his name. Don't rush your chanting because Krishna might run away from your japa practice when he sees that you simply want to finish it. Another quality is anirved, steadfastness. This means persistence. One should not lose hope when he's chanting if the results of chanting don't come immediately. In other words, you've been chanting for a couple of years and tears aren't shooting out of your eyes and the hair's not standing on end and you're not rolling on the floor and you don't feel like completely blissful and happy. You have to be a little steadfast and persistent.